Mark chapter 4, please. Mark chapter 4. I have to tell the radio listeners and those that were, I think, listening maybe Facebook Live last week. Sorry, you know, I normally, everything is alliterated. I have Roman numeral 1, 2, and 3, and I always have A, B, and C underneath 1, 2, and 3. Last week, I just had A and B. I did not have a C, and it threw some people off. Well, I'm going to tell you, it's this. Now, people here that have the outlines, it won't throw you off so much because you have it here and up there on the screen. But it's this way again this week. I'm trying to break out of a, well, not too much, but, you know, I can vary a little bit. Don't know that I could ever do a message completely unalliterated. Maybe I could. I guess I could. But this week, there's one. Rome number one just has A and B. So don't just brace yourselves. Okay, Mark chapter 4, we're going to talk about the parable of the sower this morning. And so we've got quite a few verses to read. We will be there in Mark chapter 4. We're going to start reading in verse 1. And if you would, out of respect for the word of God, stand with me, please. Mark chapter 4, and we'll start reading in verse 1. The Bible here says, "And he began again to teach by the seaside, and there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea. And the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables. And he said unto them in his doctrine, Hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth. And immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched. And because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground, and it did yield fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth some 30 and some 60 and some 100. And he said unto them, He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable. And he said unto them, Unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. And he said unto them, Know ye not this parable? And how then will ye know all parables? The sower soweth the word. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, and receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Father, help us as we look into your word. Speak to our hearts, please. And we just ask that the devil not be able to steal the seed of the word of God this morning. And so just hedge this place about. And Lord, whether it be in this auditorium or out through the radio or on Facebook, wherever this message is heard, I pray that you would speak to hearts, that we would be tender and sensitive to what your Holy Spirit has for us this morning. Thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. The parable of the sower. As I look back in my outlines, from what I could tell, I've preached on this twice, once in 09, once in 10, and the Lord just kind of laid this out, because, man, I was, this week, I'm going, Lord, what do you want me to preach on? What do you want me to preach? Do we start a series? What do we do? And the Lord laid this story on my heart, this parable, and so we'll start looking at this morning. So the parable of the sower, first of all, it's a story of seekers. It's a story of seekers. This is something that I hadn't, whether I hadn't seen before, it wasn't any of my other messages. I don't know. This time it kind of jumped out at me. Look at verse 10, please. It says, "And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable." So we were thinking, or no, well, maybe I shouldn't say we. I always thought that this was just the 12 that he explained this parable to. It says that there were others about him with the 12, but the multitudes had gone. So it's a story of seekers. First of all, seekers that stayed. Seekers that stayed. No, I mentioned it, but notice how Jesus is alone, or the crowds are gone, the 12's there, and some other people. So what it had to be was people that wanted to know more. They were seekers. They weren't just there for the circus sideshow. And I don't mean that to demeaning to the Lord at all, but some people treated our Lord Jesus Christ kind of like a circus sideshow. What new trick is he going to do? You know, because Jesus even said the feeding of the 5,000, he said, you didn't come because of, I forget what he said, but he said, you came because you got to eat. And you're wondering what new thing. And so there were many of the multitudes followed Christ because they wanted to see a new thing. They wanted to see what miracle he would perform. And so these were much beyond that because his teaching was done. The miracles were done for now. And I'm not saying that this is the last of his miracles. Please understand, for that day. But these people stayed around. Why? They wanted more. They were seekers. And that takes me to the second thing. It's a story of seekers that were not satisfied. A story of seekers that were not satisfied. Where it says, verse 10 again, and when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable. And he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables. So Jesus was saying, I kind of hid this stuff for people that were not satisfied, someone who wanted more. And you know what? Sometimes we go through the motions and we're like a bunch of robots and we really don't, I'm not trying to be unkind, but we really don't want to know much more about the Word of God. We're just coming because that's the thing to do. I mean, I won't ask for a raise of hands or any verbal or visual response, but how many this morning, before you came to church, said, God, will you teach me something this morning? Will you do something in my heart? If you didn't, why are you coming to church? I mean, really, what is the purpose? If God is not going to do something in my heart, why are you even here? Why didn't you just sleep in? You say, what are you doing, trying to chase the congregation off? No, I'm trying to spur us on. Why do we come to church? Now, I understand God can and should work in our hearts in our devotional time. And there are many reasons you come to church. I mean, fellowship, and there's several reasons why God has the church. But when we come, if the Word of God is going to be opened, should we not say, God, will you do a work in my heart? Will you teach me something this morning? These folks were seekers. And sometimes we are like robots. When I think of a robot, I don't think of some sci-fi movie. I think of, and I told just before, when Beth Ann and I had gotten, I think we were married when we went to the Bill Rice Ranch. Yeah, we were married. Okay. And I was working with a campus church youth group. And so, Beth Ann and I went as adult sponsors. And so, We went up there and Beth Ann told me, she goes, oh, you're going to love this place. They have horses. You can go on a horse ride. And she was all excited about this horse ride. So I'm thinking, man, the Bill Rice Ranch and horses and horse rides. And so we go and I'm all pumped to go on this horse ride. And so, you know, I'd grown up on a horse. So I was all excited about this. And so we go out and I get on this and we're going on a trail ride. This is nothing against the Bill Rice Ranch. Please don't misunderstand me. But those horses are nothing but robots. You sit on them. You could put anybody on them. You don't have to do a thing. You just sit in the saddle, and they go on their little course that they go on. I mean, I was bored out of my mind. I'm going, I could fall asleep on this thing, and it would still get there. I mean, it came to a point that I tried to get them to make the horse go around some things. You know, look, here's my post, go around it, you know, whatever, because they're just going. And when I tried to, I made my horse go a little different path. It was like, you know, this thing was about to panic because it was going, what in the world? This, I know I'm only 5 inches away from it, but that's my normal path. Robots, boring. Now, some of you might go, that'd be all my, that's my kind of horse ride. No, that's boring. I don't want a robot underneath me. I want a horse I want a spirited horse that challenges me, not too much, but does challenge me a little bit. How many of us are just like those horses who are going, I'm going to church this morning. Somebody sat in my seat. I might have to scoot down a foot. What am I going to do? These people weren't robots. They were seekers. This morning, do we have a church full, or maybe people listening through the radio, do we have a church full of people, radio that are listeners, that are robots or seekers? We need seekers, not robots. And you know, the only way we can change our church is by changing ourselves. It needs to be, the pastor needs to come as a seeker. The people in the pew need to come as seekers. Sunday school teachers, deacons, whoever, people to come. Say, God, teach me something this morning. Imagine, I don't know how many we have here this morning, 170, 180 people, whatever. If every person this morning would have come in this morning and say, God, teach me something from your word. Imagine what God would do in a church that was like that. These people were seekers. They were not satisfied with the same old, same old. They wanted more. Okay, there's the story of the sower. A sower went out to sow. Wonderful. I want to know what the story means. Teach me more. They were seekers. Am I a seeker? Are you a seeker? So it's a story of seekers that stayed, that were not satisfied. But then secondly, let's look at it's a story of soil. It's a story of soil. Look at verse 4, please. It says, and it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. Then we also need to look at verse 15. And these are they by the wayside where the word was sown, but when they heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. All right? So it's a story of soil. First of all, a soil which lacked softness. A soil which lacked softness. So you say, what in the world? What are you talking about? The meaning of the word wayside here has the idea of a path that's trodden. Like the road. Something that is moved on a lot. Growing up on a farm. You never, like, you know, dad says, hey, go back to the woods or whatever. You didn't just cut across fields. There were certain paths that you went on. Because if you cut across the field, you know, all these different ways, you'd ruin the crop. So there were, and you can still go there today. And there are little indents in the ground where have been the driveways, the wayside for many, many, many years, longer than I've been alive, on our farm. You go up there and why? Because you don't cut across the fields, you go on this. And as it would go, those are the places they didn't get plowed, they didn't get disced, they were just, that was the driveway. And so the dirt got real hardened there. That's what this is talking about. I didn't write down the exact meaning of wayside, but it has the idea of a place that's trodden. It's packed down because of people walking on it. So it has been hardened from traffic. And now Matthew chapter 13, verse 19, the Matthew's account of this situation, the story, he talks about there was a lack of understanding. We won't take time to look at that this morning, but there was a lack of understanding. But the wayside, the seed is thrown, and because of the hardness of the ground, because of lots of traffic, Satan is able to come. It says the birds come and take it away. And this, it says, Satan steals the seed. Now, there are many things that could cause us to be the wayside. You think about this. This, the wayside, could be somebody that's been coming to church for 50 years. This could be somebody that comes to church Sunday morning, Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and every revival service or special meeting that's ever there. Somebody that, you know, I've heard guys say, they said, when I was younger, I had a drug problem. I got drugged to church on Sunday morning. I got drugged to church on Sunday night. I got drugged to church on Wednesday night. You know, maybe you had that kind of a drug problem. I always get drugged to church. That was me. I grew up, if there was something going on at the church, we were there. It was just, that was the way it was. And you know, now my kids are saying, yeah, that's the way it was too. But I'm the pastor. My dad was the pastor. We went to church because that's what you do. Church doors are open, you're there. And so sometimes because there's, you say, I have this solution. We won't come to church anymore. That isn't the only reason that you know, it gets hardened down. Many different things, but I want to, because sometimes those of us that, you know, come to church a lot, we say, well, you know, that doesn't apply to me. Sure it does. This soil lacked softness. And because of that, Satan was able to steal the seed. Maybe it's something that in our own personal lives there's something that just constantly is taking our mind. It's just we're constantly thinking about it, or bothered by it, or worried by it. Something that it just hardens us. Maybe it's somebody done something to us. There are so many different things that can harden the soil. Maybe it's sin in our lives, where we're just going, I don't care what God says. This is what I'm going to do. It can harden us, and the seed comes. The seed is not bad. The soil is bad. So it's a story of soil which lacks softness. Secondly, it's a story of soil which lacked strength, which lacked strength. Verse 5. And some fell on stony ground where it had not much earth. And immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched. And because it had no root, it withered away. Then look down at verse 16. And these are they, likewise, which are sown on stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately receive with gladness and have no root in themselves, and so endure for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. So you say, well, where do you get this lack strength thing? Think about this. The stony ground does not allow the roots to go down deep, and so the plants don't have strength. There's because of all the stones, there's not an ability to go down deep and just be planted and have lots of strength for the plant. And so it's that stony ground. I remember Dad saying, come on, we need to go out there and pick stones out of the field. What a pain. I mean, I am gonna ask, is there anybody that their parents had them go out and pick stones? Yeah, a lot of you. You guys know. Yep, going out there, and I mean, it's just like they are endless. There is no end to all these stones. I mean, it is, oh, what a pain. And so, why? Because you got to get those stones out of there, because the plants have to be able to have root and go down. And so this soil, these different soils, it one lacked softness, another lacked strength because of all the stones. And We'll get more into that. I want to cover more in that, but we're not going to cover more in that right at this point. So it's a story of soil which lacks softness, which lacks strength. And then let's go to the third thing, which lacked sustenance. Which lacked sustenance. I know it's a big word. I worked for hours on that one. Lacked sustenance. Look at verse 7. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And other fell on good ground and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased and brought forth some 60, some 30. Oh, I'm jumping ahead of myself. Choked it and yielded no fruit. Verse 7. Then also verse 18. Verse 18, please. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lusts of other things entering in choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. So it lacks sustenance. In other words, it was thorny soil. So it lacked fertilizer. It lacked the nutrients that was needed for good things to grow. I didn't know this, but I've learned that a soil that does not have good nutrients, what I've heard it called sour soil, grows brush. It grows brush and junk and just not good stuff for plants to grow. And so it was thorny soil, so it didn't have the nutrients. It didn't have the fertilizer. You know, that's why farmers many long time ago started in crop rotation and having fertilizers and things to help the soil, because it can get wore out. You know, I'm sorry, it's humid today. Is it raining? Yep, sounds like rain. It's humid. I got to take my suit jacket off. Bless you. Okay. Whew. That's cooler there. All right. So, you know, a ground that is neglected, a ground that maybe just the same thing has grown and grown and grown and grown on it, loses that sustenance. It loses those nutrients. And you know, some of you have served and served and served and served in church. You're in nursery. You're doing children's church. You're singing in the choir, cleaning stuff. You're just constantly doing things. And I know there are people like that. There are some of you that do nothing except come in and sit in a pew. And you know, we all need to serve. That's God's called us to serve. God's never, you find a place where it tells us God's told us to sit. You say, that's it, Mary, she sat at Jesus' feet. That's right, there's a time to sit at Jesus' feet, then there's time to get going. When Jesus said, occupy till I come, that means stay busy. It doesn't mean lounge. Occupy is not, I'm occupying my recliner. No, occupy means keep busy, the meaning of the word, all right? But sometimes we can serve and serve and serve and give and give and give and give and just burn out. Sometimes you can just get tired of it. I understand. You know, there are times that I really don't want to be a pastor. Not recently, okay? Yesterday. No, I'm kidding. There are those times you go, for crying out loud, is it always something? I mean, there was a year, every holiday that was coming up, every time we knew there was a holiday and they were going to get some time off, a tragedy happened. Someone died. Some massive tragedy happened. It just sometimes it does that. You know, hey, Christmas is coming up. All right, let's go to the hospital. You know, there's those times that things happen like that, and you can just go, come on. But if all we do is we're giving out, giving out, giving out, we'll get sour. The soil will get sour. Why? Because there's no sustenance. That's why it's so important, whether it's the pastor or Sunday school teacher or regular person sitting in the pew, that as we give out, we take in too. We got to get in the book. We've got to study. And you don't have to have a degree in Greek and Hebrew. There are computer programs that will tell you what the words mean, but get into the book and study. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And so as we give out, we've got to take in, we've got to allow the Lord to pour into us and then give out. But then there's some of us that all we do is take in, take in, take in, and never give out, and we become like the Dead Sea. It's not good. There's got to be a coming in and going out, a coming in and going out. If there's nothing coming in and all is going out, if you're giving all kinds of people spiritual advice and you're never getting in your Bible, you're going to wear out. So we've got to keep getting the wisdom from the Word of God as we give out and as we serve others, and we've got to let the Lord serve us and pour in. But there's this ground lacks sustenance. It became sour, and there is nothing that grows. Maybe you're sour about something that happened in church many years ago. Maybe there was somebody on this side of the church that offended somebody on that side of the church, and you're sour, and you're like, that's it, I'm done. And the seed, nothing grows. The soil is useless. I'm not trying to be mean to you, but what is our job? Our job, our purpose is, well, to fear God and keep his commandments, but one of the things, we're supposed to grow. If we're not growing, we're losing ground. And so we're supposed to grow in our walk with the Lord. And I'm not giving an excuse that somebody offended you, so what, it's okay to be offensive. No, it's not okay to be offensive. But we need to keep, not let our spiritual soil get sour and hold bitterness and harbor bitterness. I can't believe that person did that to me. We need to keep getting into the Word of God and letting God's Word minister to us so that he can have that balm of Gilead heal those wounds, and then we can keep on giving and keep on serving. I sure am glad that the Lord kept serving us and the Lord sacrificed for us even though people rejected him. So the soil gets sour. Because it lacked sustenance. So we've looked at, it's a story of seekers. It's a story of soil. Now this is where you might kind of go, what? The third, Roman numeral 3, is it's a story of success. It's a story of success. You might go, now wait a second. There were three of the grounds that were failure and only one that was good. What are you talking about? Now think about this. The Bible mentions four types of ground. It mentions the wayside, the stony ground, the thorny ground, and the good ground. The good ground is the one that produces. That's what we're supposed to be like. What's the difference? Now look, it says in verse 20, and these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit, some 30, some 60, and some 100. All right, now, it's talking about that they hear the word and they receive it, and then they bring forth fruit. Every ground hears the word. There's not one ground on there that, as you go through there, they did not hear the word. Now, the wayside, they heard the word, maybe they lacked some understanding, that they were trodden down, there's something that didn't allow the seed to go down in, so Satan was able to steal it. So they heard it, and they didn't necessarily receive it. The stony ground heard the word, received the word, and started to grow. The thorny ground heard the word, received the word, and started to grow, but the cares of this world, the thorns choked it out. So what is the difference between the good ground and the other three grounds? How can I have this success? You said it's a story of success. It absolutely is. And I'm so glad you asked me that. It's a story of success. First of all, when there is submission, it is a story of success when there is submission. Verse 15. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. Okay? So there's got to be submission. The wayside lacked a softness. The ground wasn't tilled up. The ground wasn't turned over. There was not a softness to the ground. There was not a tenderness. Now, how can we become tender? How can we be willing to listen to what God tells us to do? There has to be a tenderness. If there is not a tenderness, we're going to go, I don't care what you say. I know what I'm talking about. I mean, we've all met those people. The people that you might as well talk to the wall as talk to them. If you're going to give them instruction, you're trying to give them instruction, and they may be quiet, they may be looking at you, but you know they're not going to get it. You just know. Why? They're a hard head. And they don't want to hear it because in their mind, they know more than you do. There is a lack of tenderness. So for there to be success, the story of success, it will happen when there is submission. In the reference to the ground becomes tender when it submits to the plow. When the plow is able to go down in and grab that ground, and I know there's a lot of no-till stuff, but anyhow, let's just go with the tenderness of the ground where the plow goes in, and the old-fashioned plows where they come in and turn the ground upside down, and then you go over it and disc it, and there's that becomes tender. But the longer it's been, I mean, if there's a field that's been worked and worked and worked, it's better. But with the weather and things moving on it and all those things happening, it can become very hard and not real. It really doesn't want to submit to the plow. When God tries to plow in my life or in your life, do you submit? Or do you just go, God, don't go there. That's my area. You leave that alone. Or, well, that'll never work, so no sense in even plowing there. How do we respond? Now you, the elements, the people. You know, people can be mean. People can be cruel. Christians can be mean, cruel, and nasty. They can. No question. When I stand before God and God says, Dave, why were you so hard-hearted towards me? Well, Lord, there were some nasty people in my life. There were people that just, they didn't like me. They said nasty things about me and they did this and this and this and they hurt me. And so I was done. Nope. Don't want to hear anything about it. And the Lord's going to go, oh, that's right. Here, let me blot all that out. You're good to go. No, the Lord's not going to do that. I mean, I don't know exactly what he's going to say. He could say, yeah, I understand that rejection thing. I kind of did get rejected and crucified. I know about that. But I still went to the cross. And I still loved. Or the Lord could go, wait a second, I'm not talking to those people right now. I'm talking to you. How did you respond? See, I'm not responsible for somebody else's actions. I'm responsible for my reaction. Can people hurt us? Yes. Can God at times allow us to be hurt? Yes. Look at the life of Joseph. I mean, you can say, he is so amazing, I can't even just use him as an example. But here's the thing. The guy was done wrong by everybody in his life. Everybody turned on him. Everybody did him wrong. I mean, he was 17 when his own brother sold him into slavery. And I think he was 30 years old before he stood before Pharaoh. He was put in jail for doing the right thing. And it wasn't the resorts that they have as jails now. This would have been a nasty, horrible place. And when he had opportunity, he was the second most powerful guy in the land. He did not seek revenge on his brothers who had done him wrong. And he said, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. What an incredible outlook. You know what? There can be difficult things that happen in our lives that God allowed. Now, sometimes our own sin brings that about. Sometimes we blame God. How did God allow? Well, it's my own stinking sin. That's why. But there are times that God either has difficult things happen to me or allows difficult things so that he can make me more like himself. How is strength tested except being put under a load? And so in the story of success, there is success when there is submission. Am I willing to submit to the Lord no matter what? Are we? Will we submit to the Lord no matter what he asks us? I'm not talking submit to foot of 10, not talking submit to Pastor Dave. I'm not talking about that. Am I willing to submit to the Lord no matter what? No matter what he asks us to do. No matter where he asks us to go. No matter what he lays on our heart. No matter how deep he wants to plow. No matter how much it hurts. Are we willing to submit? If we're not, God isn't going to do a great work in our lives. He's not going to work through us. How can he work through someone who is unsubmitted? God desires success in our lives, but it comes after submission. So this is a story of success. When there is submission, there was not submission with the wayside. But then the second thing we need to look at, when there is study. Look at verse 16, please. This is the second ground. This is the stony ground. Verse 16, and these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth, for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. So, this says there's no root in themselves. These people, they receive the seed, but there is no root. And so when persecution, the sun rises, in the first part, the sun comes up, it gets hot, and it wilts. All right? So, this is saying that when persecution comes, it says because of the word or for the word's sake, they are offended. So their things get hot and they don't have the root. You know what? Are pastors supposed to study? Absolutely. And I learned quite a few things as I was studying this. In fact, I learn a lot in most messages that I preach. As I'm studying, I go, wow, ooh, yeah, ouch, okay. But you're supposed to learn as well. You are supposed to study as well. When the Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Every one of us are supposed to get in the word of God. Every one of us are supposed to study. None of us have an excuse for not getting in the book. None of us. Even where it says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It does you no good if you're not lighting it up. A flashlight does no good until you click it on. This is calling us, that lamp, in modern day terms, be a flashlight. How are we supposed to see where we're going if we don't get into the book, if we don't turn it on? When we have submission and when there is study, there will be a success. This was interesting to me because in Psalm, in fact, let's keep your fingers here, but let's turn to Psalm 119, please. Psalm 119. When I was reading this, I got looking and I thought, I wonder. And so I went to this passage and I looked up what the Hebrew says. Psalm 119. and it's towards the end of Psalm 119. If you notice, it says in Mark 4, verse 17, it says, when persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. There's another place that I'm familiar with it where the Bible talks about being offended. Psalm 119, 165. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. That word offend in the Hebrew and offended in the Greek obviously are not the same word because there are two different languages, but they both mean the same thing. They both mean being tripped up, caused to fall, be a stumbling block. Both of them. And so Psalm 119, 165 says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Now notice that which love thy law. How do you love God's law? You study it. These folks, the word is sown. They receive it with gladness. They're so excited. They start to grow. But when things get tough, they wilt away and they're like, oh, okay. And they're offended. There's a stumbling block. They're tripped up. They're not moving anymore. Why? Because they haven't studied the book. They haven't gotten in and loved his word. Now, the word of God is difficult. The word of God tells me that I'm a rotten sinner. The word of God tells me that I deserve to go to hell. So the word of God is difficult on us. It's tough on us. It's offensive, if you will. But the Bible says, if I love his law, if I love this book, I will not be offended. And these people here in the stony ground, they because they had no root in themselves, they had not gotten into the book and studied for themselves, they were offended when things got tough. You know what? When things get tough, that's when we need to grow. That's when we need to, things need to happen, not fade away into the sunset. There will be spiritual success when there is a submission, when there is study. And then the third thing, when there is single-mindedness. When there is single-mindedness. Look at verse 18. We're back in Mark chapter 4, verse 18, please. It says here, and these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. So, there are three things that is mentioned in this. There are distractions, because it says the cares of this world, the distractions, the delusions, that's the delusions for riches. I want riches, 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 and the desire for pleasure, because that's what this is referring to when it says the lusts of other things, that a desire for pleasure. So distractions, delusions, and desires choke the word of God out and they become unfruitful. It's so important that I stay single-minded. Now here's the thing, are things in this world all evil? No. I mean, God told us to be in the world, just not of the world. Is riches bad? No. All rich people are not evil. That's a horrible thought process. And the Bible does not say money is the root of all evil. It says the love of money is the root of all evil. But Jesus said, We have this thing where we desire, we take the cares of the world, the distractions, the delusions. I gotta be rich, I gotta be rich, I gotta have more money, I gotta have more, or the desires just for pleasure can choke out the word of God. And in our world, there's so many things that can distract us, so many things that can take our attention away from him. When you get up in the morning, the first thing you do, or maybe is the first thing you do, you check Facebook. Well, I wonder what notifications I have today. Or with me. I get so easily distracted. My alarm is on my phone, and I have my phone in the bathroom, so I have to get up. So, you know, because if it's right next to me, I could in my sleep just shut the alarm off and go back to sleep. So I have it away from me, so I have to get up, go, you know, shut it off. If you swipe that phone, The thing that just distracts me so much is if you have a smartphone, you have your little app thinger, okay, like Facebook app. Well, if you have notifications and you have the notifications on, it'll have a little red number up in the corner. Or if you check your mail, it'll have a little red number in the corner, and it drives me crazy. You know, why is that number there? I wonder what's there. And so one of the worst things that can happen is because usually I just shut my alarm off and off we go. But if I turn my phone on and open it up, and I see that on number 7 up in the corner of Facebook. What are those notifications? Or what's really bad, I forget, Beth Ann posted something, I don't know, it was a week or so ago, and I woke up. Oh, I know what it was. I went on because I wear this Fitbit thing, and the Fitbit tells me how I sleep, so I always sync my Fitbit while I'm brushing my teeth. I do it before I brush my teeth, and it's syncing while I'm brushing my teeth. Anyhow. Okay, focus, Dave. First thing you got to do when you get the nasties out of your mouth. Anyhow, and so I'll see the Facebook, and the top corner of Facebook, it said 14. For me, that just drives me crazy because I want to get that 14 off there, and I'm also wondering, what are the 14 notifications? What's those 14? It can distract you. And you know what? Here's the thing. You get up in the morning, and you start looking through Facebook, you're going to waste an hour, probably. Or, okay, maybe I'll waste an hour. But you know what? I've determined for me, I do not get on Facebook until I get my face in the book. And you know what? If we'd put our face in the book more than we're on Facebook, our lives would be different. I'm not up here to preach against Facebook. Oh, he doesn't think we have Facebook. If you have Facebook, big hairy deal. I don't care. We just need to get our face in the book before we get on Facebook. Amen. But we get so distracted with the cares of this world. Is there anything wrong with social media? No. Can there be bad things that happen on social media? Yes. Sometimes you want to kick social media out? Yes. That's the thing. I just got to say this. It kills me. I don't have my phone here. But we were somewhere. I can't remember. We were in this public place. We were walking somewhere, and there were, we were at Mackinac Island, and we're going by somewhere, and there's like 5 or 6 older teenager college students all sitting like on benches, just real close to each other. None of them were looking at each other or talking to each other. They're all on their phones. I'm going, oh my soul. Can't people talk to one another anymore? No. I got to be on social media. Sometimes put the stupid phone down and talk to the people you're face to face with. That's right. So anyhow, but we can get so distracted. There's so many things that distract us and take our minds off, and we get out of this single-mindedness. Does it mean that I can't, that there's no cares of this world that I should pay attention to? No, it means that my single focus, my single-mindedness ought to be on Jesus Christ. That's the difference. There will be spiritual success when there is submission, when there is study, and when there is single-mindedness. I focus my life on pleasing God. End of story. I'm not distracted. I don't have these delusional riches idea thing. If God wants to make me rich, wonderful. But I don't have these distractions, the delusions, the desires for this pleasure. If I will single-mindedly say, God, I've got to please you in my life, there will be success. My soil will be the good ground when there's submission, when there's study, and when there's single-mindedness. What ground are you? Or maybe I shouldn't even ask that. How's your ground? Are you the wayside? Submit. Are you the stony ground? Study. Are you the thorny ground? Get single-minded. We need Christians in this day and age. We need them all the time, but we're in this day and age right now. We need people now, today, Christians, to get single-minded, study, and submit. And be in tune with God so that God can use them. We have a wicked country today. We have a heathen country today. And we need more Christians that are on fire for God, doing single-minded. Lord, I want to please you in my life. And that we can allow God to use us to make an impact in this world. But we're so distracted. We're so delusional. I just want my own thing. We desire me, that God can't work through us. Will I say, God, I want spiritual success. I will submit, I will study, and I will be single-minded so you can use me.